recording live, coming to you live from the Nashville Comic and Toy Show. I am your host, the Diesel Punk Prophet of Pop Culture, the artist also known as Big Daddy Cool, John Pica. I am the host of the Diesel Punk podcast, Tales from the Flip Side, and the author of the book, Tales from the Flip Side, as well as one of the co-founders of the Supervillain Summit. Sitting alongside of me is someone that is no stranger to the Nashville Con community, the creator of MTAC and GMX, and one of the most prolific voices in the geek community in Nashville, Mr. Lucas Leverett.
Hello. So I've got two mics to choose from. Are we getting me on both of these?
Yes.
This is officially the most mics I've been on at once.
Yeah. This.
I get an ego about this shit.
This mic will pick you up. It's a pretty sensitive mic, so we just set it here on the table and let it run, and we should be good. Yeah, just kind of point your face towards it, and we'll be good.
That things break. Be careful.
So we are here to talk about the MCU after Avengers 4. So the Avengers 4, Avengers Endgame, I guess we can start officially calling it now. The trailer dropped on Friday morning and really didn't show a whole lot.
I giggled like a little girl. A lot.
Did you?
Oh, a lot. I was at my desk and I got up to do something completely job focused. Glanced at my phone and the AMC Theater app had said, "It's finally here. Watch the Avengers Endgame trailer." And I'm like, and I kind of like flail my arms and wave at all my coworkers, like, "Guys!" And then we kind of huddled around and watched it. And it's enough. I think it's exactly
it's
right. Yeah, but you're very correct. It didn't really sell out too much stuff. What about out here? You seen it?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Did you like it?
There's one guy earlier who said he refused to watch it.
I was up at 6:45. I was crying by 7:06.
Up by 6:45 crying. That implies you watched it for like 40 minutes straight.
I had Twitter on notification. I had YouTube. Everything.
Okay.
As soon as it dropped, I did my reaction.
So you knew it was coming?
Yes.
See, I had men under a rock. I didn't know.
Oh, well, it was.
And I was having a high maintenance CEO kind of day, so I was a little bit distracted by work.
It was supposed to drop on Wednesday,
but
it got delayed because of the George H.W. Bush memorial services and whatnot. They didn't want to step on something
that's
that significant.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a nice choice. I like that.
Yeah, so it dropped Friday morning. Really didn't show a whole lot, but showed enough.
Hmm.
We know where the characters are at the. At the start, at least.
Right.
At least we think at the start.
I've seen a few breakdowns, too, and I don't know that it's certain, but it makes sense. And I don't know that it's a wide theory, but one thing I watched suggested that Tony is not alone on the ship, even though he's portrayed as being alone.
Yes, I don't think he is.
That
alone.
Nebula is there too.
I think Nebula is
hanging
on the
out,
ship with
him. And who knows? That I mean, there's a potential for any number of things. That could go, buddy comedy real fast, or it could go really, really awkward, hero villain stuff real fast. So there's a lot of promise for the first act. I think.
Yeah. So, but we're here to talk about.
After.
What we think is going to be the MCU after Endgame on television and on film. And for those of you who listen to the podcast, you've heard me speculate my theory about an all-female-led television show on ABC as part of the after Avengers Endgame MCU. And what leads me to believe that this is going to happen was that 2 weeks before the Netflix cancellations started, before they canceled Iron Fist, before they canceled Luke Cage, and then before they ultimately canceled Daredevil, which we knew was going to happen, and there's all kinds of reasons for that, guys. We'll talk a little bit about those reasons here, but 2 weeks before those cancellations came, there was a quiet announcement on IGN that ABC Television had ordered a TV show that was going to be an all-female cast. Marvel superhero show, all-female cast. Then they cancel Iron Fist, and we know at the end of Iron Fist, Colleen Wing becomes the new Iron Fist, and Misty Knight has left the police force. She's going the way of vigilantism.
That's a good point. There's a lot of setup there.
And so there's a lot of setup. They cancel those shows, but we've got these two characters that audiences absolutely loved and raved about. Could they move to this new television show? Then...
By the way, I didn't know that yet, but that's...
Oh, you didn't?
I'm stuck in Luke Cage, and I can't get the rest of it watched fast enough, and I'm unwilling to watch out of order of release, even if they don't... So I'm kind of...
Well, lying. I'm so sorry. I just spoiled Iron Fist 2.
It's okay. It's not a big deal.
You will love
I've done Iron too much Fist in 2. Cons to keep the butt hurt longer than about 30 days. So... You know, it's kind of like all those Battlestar panels at Dragon Con. You don't have a right anymore to complain. Years on,
that's
that
right.
You're the last person that hasn't watched it. So I already know everything that happens. I still want to watch it, but
well,
anyway,
I will
that's,
say this
that's
about
a good setup. I fear though, what's ABC's? Do they have a BS subscription based alternative network?
No. Well,
yet?
Here's Disney. Here's the next part of my theory. So last week. About a week after Daredevil was canceled, ABC Television announced that season 6 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is not going to be the final season after all. They have ordered a 7th season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now, if you're caught up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know at the end of season 5, Coulson goes away to die.
That I am caught up with.
Yes. So we do know that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be Coulson-less.
Mm-hmm.
And on that show, the female characters have really outshined the male characters consistently.
Yeah.
Melinda May, Daisy Johnson, Yo-Yo Rodriguez, and
Daisy was sort of a sleeper thing, I think, for a lot of people. I think a lot of people didn't look at her as the franchise until... You know,
she
a season or two in,
yeah,
and then it's like, oh,
the
wait a
franchise.
Minute, I see what's going on.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, and so she and Slingshot, Yo-Yo Rodriguez, have become real deal superheroes. So they're renewing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for season 7. So my theory is that season 7 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will be an all-female cast-led show.
You know what's brilliant about this? For the entertainment industry's ultimate history.
Yes.
And I'm going to say the first thing that people will pull out of context and use to make me into a bad guy in the very near future, as we all know. Hey, this is great, because all these chicks will work cheap.
Oh.
But, you ready for this?
Yeah.
They're going to create a scenario where the conversation will be unavoidable. Why in the world are they having to work so cheap? And why aren't they carrying the same kind of budget in the casting as an all-male cast? And it'll go down in history, potentially, if you're correct about this series, as one of the first times a major player with all the money in the world, Disney, stood up and said, hey, here's this thing, and then maybe they will be the one that has to say, and we're going to pay them.
That would be phenomenal if that happened.
I think it could be a vehicle for some important change, and really interesting.
And, you know, the other part of my theory is that Marvel Universe fans have been clamoring for She-Hulk to appear in the MCU.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 7, all-female cast, would be a perfect opportunity to do that. And then you've got other ancillary characters like, you know, Bobby Morse, Mockingbird, who at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3...
Mm-hmm.
Went off, and her next project tanked, and she's not doing anything right now. Amy Pilecki?
Yeah.
She could come back as Mockingbird.
Yeah.
You've got Trish Walker from Jessica Jones, who became Hellcat at the end of season 2, potentially to come in, and it could be an absolutely awesome all-females Avengers light Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
What do we know about the economics of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? You know, Disney's got enough money. They got all the money in the world.
Yes.
They can put, you know, somebody's granddad reading the phone book on TV for an hour with no sponsors, all local ads, and still get away with it. they can afford to do whatever they want. But what do we know about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s economics? And the reason I ask that is because what I don't want to see is, here's this all-female show. Oh, by the way, you can only get that on the streaming network. I don't want to see it become a Star Trek Discovery scenario where they're going to take a chance, but not too much of a chance. And then it's a big pain in the ass to watch the show. And of course, it doesn't get the exposure. But if Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hasn't performed massively well, which I don't know that it has, maybe they're willing to stick with it. Maybe they've proven that they will put something out there and say, no, this is what we believe we want on our lineup.
Well, here's where Disney and ABC learned a very important lesson about ratings. So you remember Agent Carter, which was a
right.
phenomenal show, got canceled after the second season, even though fans clamored for season three. And there were
yep.
so many unresolved plot lines. And you know, ultimately what happened there was ABC and Disney did not have their arms around on-demand viewership yet.
True.
Because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was finishing season three, and it was on the bubble of being canceled as well.
Well, and I would say they also didn't have a handle on toxic fandom and loud, you know, neckbeard basement bloggers that ruin everything for the rest
well,
of us.
I
think
they
might have been too sensitive
that
to that.
Yeah.
They're less sensitive, but they're still
yeah.
too sensitive. And I guess, hey, I get to make a shameless plug.
Okay.
I have a blog coming out about that topic.
On
in
Zombies
next,
in My Blog?
The next 4 days on Zombies in My Blog.
Okay.
Toxic fandom. I'm grabbing toxic fandom by the horns.
We'll definitely promote it through the yeah. podcast. But
that's, you know, I don't know that every production company understands how to deal with that. And I addressed that in my write-up where EA basically said, hey, there's going to be some females in Battlefield. Stuff it.
Yeah.
And if more corporations would do that with their entertainment properties, I think the culture would be pushed.
Well, and, you know, I've talked about toxic fandom before, you know, where you have these groups of people on one side or the other, you know, the self-proclaimed social justice warriors of the geek community versus the neckbeard, mouth-breathing, parents' basement-dwelling guys.
And all of us trapped in the middle.
And, and those two groups are, like, making decisions for everybody else, and we're trapped in the middle. And, you know, the problem is, if you don't take one side or the other, they assign you to one
right,
side or the other.
Right, right. But the networks are immune to that. They have money and power.
Right.
They just have to control that narrative.
I
don't think that they had learned to control the narrative at Carter, but at S.H.I.E.L.D., I think maybe they have the ability to control it.
I think they have, and here's the other wrinkle in that. Since Agent Carter was canceled, Disney acquired a 60% share in Hulu.
Mm.
So now they actually have a handle on how many people are watching programs on playback on demand.
And are they still doing their own network?
Yeah, they are.
Doesn't make any sense.
Well,
I hate it when these people do this.
Well, I think here's where it's going to come down. So Disney owns ABC, they own Freeform, they own they now own Fox. And FX and Bravo, all of those channels associated with Fox. And they all have their own programming. So here's what I think is going to happen. Disney Plus, the streaming app, is going to have all of it. But what they won't have is the other network's programming, obviously, that is available through Hulu. So they're going to offer a package deal. Disney Plus plus Hulu for one price.
So you're thinking we're going to tiptoe into a la carte channels by way of streaming networks with the influence of big players like that.
Yeah, but I actually think there's going to be consolidation.
Hmm.
Because ultimately, the market cannot bear every network having their own a la carte pay-for-play app.
Amen.
As we've complained about with CBS and there are some other networks that you have to have a cable provider to watch the streaming app, and it just doesn't work.
No.
And so I think ultimately what you're going to see is a consolidation of all of these. It won't happen immediately, but it happened with phone companies. It happens with utility companies. It happens with television networks that get bought up by conglomerates. It will happen with the streaming apps as well.
That you're not wrong, but when they maintain brand badges that are separate, it still preserves
Well,
that, so I don't know that that really plays out for the average Joe. Like, there are a lot of, you know,
the
a lot of Joe Sixpack out there that don't know who owns what. There are people that still don't know ABC and Disney, or, you know.
Well, that's right. You're right. And I like to look at what CW is doing with their app.
Oh, they're, yeah.
Because it's free.
Right.
You know, you can watch it on television, or you can stream it on CW, and then at the end of the season, it all goes to Netflix. So CW and Netflix already have
right.
this synergetic relationship. And
that's
we'll
a good
that
arrangement.
That's
a good arrangement. I don't know... Yeah, I don't know where the breaking point is. How many of them can we have? And so...
Three.
Yeah.
I think three. I think you're going to see Netflix and Amazon Prime merge.
So you think Hulu is getting the squeeze, or it's going to be those three?
Well, Hulu will be owned by... is 60% owned by Disney. So it'll be right. Hulu, Netflix, / Amazon Prime. There'll be a package deal.
Oh, you think that'll be a team-up?
Yeah.
Do you think Amazon will buy it?
Yeah.
Do you think Warner Brothers could make that bid? And is that another big bidding war on the lines of, you know, GameStop trying to take Hot Topic or whatever? You know,
I don't know. I don't think Warner Brothers is smart enough to do that.
Warner Brothers isn't smart enough to do a lot of things, but that's another panel.
No. I mean, look, here's the deal with Warner Brothers. If you guys don't know this, Warner Brothers is for sale. They've been for sale for the last 10 years. And at one point, Disney was a major quarter for Warner Brothers.
I have a mental image of a Batmobile with no wheels on blocks and a handwritten for sale sign on a cardboard box.
Well, in particular, because Warner Brothers, they want to get out of the entertainment production industry. They want to focus on news and other businesses.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So anyway, you know, that's my theory is that, you know, we're going to see an all-female TV show and a consolidation of properties. Now, as in terms of the movies,
yeah, I was about to say cinema.
I think it's anybody's game right now.
It really is. Yeah,
I still hear a lot of misinformation about the Marvel Sony deal with Spider-Man. You know, I saw one vlogger the other day saying, well, you know, Sony owns Spider-Man and the movie and the distribution and whatnot, and that's technically true with the license, but their arrangement with Marvel, their contract now, is that Marvel produces the movie, Sony distributes it, and they own the distribution rights. But Marvel owns the film and the production of the film. It's very similar to Lucasfilm and Paramount and Indiana Jones and that property.
Well, and I think cinematically, after the rest of the world gets to see what I've seen, and have you seen Into the Spider-Verse yet?
I have not.
Okay.
I can't wait to see it, though. I'll see that when it comes out in theaters next week.
Now, I think there may be a press screening coming this week you may be able to get into, but... I saw it at the, it was supposedly the PlayStation promo screening last weekend. And after the rest of the world gets to see why it's buzzing 100% on Rotten Tomatoes with the critics, and gets to see what the film is, and comes to terms with the fact that it's one of the best animated films I've ever seen, and it's arguably accurate that the people in the theater with me that were saying this is the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen, it's going to make an impact. And a lot of people are talking about Best Animated Feature buzz with its late release and so on. So if it performs and awards well, you could see the MCU do a lot more taking cues from Star Wars. I mean, Disney knows what's up. They own these things. There's no reason why perfectly canon-inclusive animation might not push forward. Because that film, and this isn't very spoilery, but in the first 45 seconds of the film, they include animated recap stuff that's pulled out of the Raimi films. And,
really?
Yeah. They pull it together, and they make sure that they kind of cover a lot of Spidey. So if you're a Spider-Man fan coming from anywhere, you get pulled into that movie and dropped in a place, not necessarily in time and understandable space, because it is a multiverse concept, but you get a sense of placement at the beginning of the film. And I think they already know this with Star Wars. They already know they can score with animation that fits the canon.
Yeah.
And I think if they drop more of that, they may be able to do it cheaper than big budget, you know, real life film, and get all the pop that they're looking for.
Well, I'll tell you this. The one thing that is true about the Into the Spider-Verse film that is a little bit of a wrinkle, it is a Sony-produced film. So it is Sony-produced and distributed. Now, but you're saying that they do give nods to the MCU, or
they,
is it just the previous Sony
material? They
are
generic enough,
okay,
that you are left with the distinct possibility that
so
they've referenced MCU, but they haven't done a direct reference. They directly reference their own Sony scenes, the stuff they can probably more cleanly reproduce without facing any kind of creative retribution.
Sure.
But there are enough Spideys in the mix that the MCU possibilities are pretty open. Now, everything in the primary universe of the film is brand new. You know, you've got villains at a different scale and of a slightly different personality.
Because it is in the Miles Morales universe,
right,
is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And as a DC kid, all I can say about that is, yes, whatever that is. Because I never read any of this stuff as a kid. I was a Batman kid, so I have to catch all this stuff up, and you know, I ask people that know things and read stuff and watch YouTube breakdowns. But it was a deeply satisfying Spidey movie for a fan coming from anywhere. And the haters have just zeroed in on the wrong stuff. The absolutely wrong stuff. There are people that I've been sitting next to in other screenings where trailers played, and as soon as Spider-Ham shows up, you'd have the know-it-all, you know, three seats over going, ah, boom, this is going to be crap.
Well,
you know, and it's like, dude, loosen up.
Well, so here's what's interesting about that. Okay, so Doctor Strange introduced the multiverse in the first Doctor Strange movie. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in season 4 explored it even further.
Right.
And tapped into it with the whole LMD thing and with Ghost Rider. And now, coming back to Avengers Endgame.
Right.
Those two pieces, the multiverse and time travel, you've got the time stone out there, you've got the time vortices, mm-hmm, from the quantum realm. I think it's entirely possible that the future of the MCU through Endgame is going to revolve a lot around the multiverse, and maybe Into the Spider-Verse is kind of their trial balloon, or will be the indicator.
Well, and you know, as a brand guy and a design guy, I see visual cues pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And Spider-Verse uses the cues, the psychedelic, multicolor vibe of multiverse transfer that the other mediums have all kind of settled on. That weird, pearlescent, shiny, sparkly, rainbowy thing that we've gotten from both Doctor Strange and Ant-Man is sort of how they treat that space, the space between realities. And that, to me, is a design cue from a production standpoint, that they want to put that flag down as being able to match.
Yeah.
And I think that's got some legs. And if they're looking at anything that the other guys do right, DC, Warner Brothers, CW, they have the liberty of all their Earths. And their storytelling is unchained in a lot of ways. Sometimes they can do something really dumb. I mean, I was a Trekkie kid, you know, and it's the fallback. You know, well, we wrote ourselves into a corner. How do we fix it? Either time travel or another dimension. That's the way to fix it. So you can do stupid things, but you can also do really creative stuff And I think Marvel may see that someone else is the only thing that they're doing well on the other side of the comic book fence is that stuff. So maybe they want to take that creative widget and plug it into their machine.
Now, see, I do think that the DC Universe has made a major miscalculation in starting at that point, where their television universe is completely separate from their movie universe, and their movies are completely separate from each other. I think they made a mistake there, but the way that Marvel has done it, you know, getting to that point after 22
right.
movies,
right.
you know, it could possibly work. Now, here's my other theory. So here's my final theory. Back in 2007, I put forth the idea that Tony Stark would ultimately become Kang the Conqueror. And there are all kinds of clues all throughout the Marvel Universe comics that point to this. I was the first one in 2007 to suggest it. It was on a board called Avengers Forever. We had lengthy discussions about it. And Brian Michael Bendis even joined the conversation when he was writing Avengers and was flirting with the idea in a story surrounding the Kang-Ultron War.
Huh.
And it looked like he was going to take that idea and run with it. And at the last minute, nothing happened. So I think, though, and this theory has gotten some new traction online on Reddit, that with the Avengers Endgame, you've got Tony Stark, who is super genius. He's a future thinker. He's a
right.
futurist. He's a narcissist. He thinks that he can save everybody and everything. All of that, to me, equals... Oh, and you've got the Time Stone and the Time Vortexes. That he can potentially tap into. All of that points to me with him becoming Kang the Conqueror, and Kang becomes the big bad villain for the next phase of the MCU.
That's bold, but nobody would expect any less. And I think it's not ridiculous. The thing I would also say about that, though, is it could feel a little bit... Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, I'm the guy that can save everybody. But in order to do that, I have to adopt this villain we found in a comic book that you didn't see coming. You know, that kind of...
Because
that's kind of how that played out at the end of the last season. Is like,
yeah,
okay, wait.
Which I thought was a perfect
Talbot
way to
went
tie
from
into Infinity Wars.
This guy to this guy. Oh, okay. But yeah. No, it worked. I'm still vastly disappointed that we didn't see an end of that season that was like the end of Ant-Man 2. I
yeah.
wanted to see...
We needed to see some dust particles.
Half of the people we cared about freaking disintegrate. Because for people that don't... Maybe they're casual viewers that don't even pay attention to the movies or they're behind. I like the stakes that we had for a few seasons where you really needed to be watching the movies and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
yeah.
in tandem. And I felt like the high stakes ending would have been, oh boy, whew, we got ourselves out of that mess. Okay, here's this island. See you later. Nice to know you. Why are you blowing away instead of just getting
yeah.
deader?
You know, Coulson
you know,
being
Coulson
left alone
poofing.
On the island. No.
Yeah.
Melinda May poofing and Coulson
well,
left
that
alone
too.
On the island.
That too.
That would have been stronger.
You know, I'm all about torquing the drama.
Yeah.
So whatever causes the most pain and tears in people's living room is
yeah.
usually where
I'm not sure why they didn't go that route. I think we'll probably find out in Season 7 what actually happened. Because Season 7 will drop in July, after Endgame has kind of run its course, and probably right around the time that it comes out on DVD.
What was it? What was this? What was Talbot's? What was
Graviton.
Graviton.
One of my all-time favorite Marvel villains, by the way.
It would be really hysterical to see some kind of, ha-ha, I'm a badass, I just won the day, wait a minute, you know,
yeah.
flashback where he's disappeared, and
yeah.
you know, he's completely hacked off right in the middle of his biggest success. By being part of the 50%.
Yeah, I think the only reason they didn't do that was because the producers, the Russo brothers, were keeping such a tight
right.
seal to prevent spoilers. So
yeah, yeah.
And that's the other thing. I think Marvel TV and Marvel Films have got to start working together better.
A lot more, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They've
well,
got
and,
this kind
and
of rivalry between them.
Earlier you mentioned the DC thing. I have longed for years now for just a little bit of that content. just to drop dialogue. Just drop dialogue that references other stuff. There could be a Bale Batman on another Earth.
Yeah.
Just reference it.
Yeah.
Write it in, and then we're done. Now we're all, you know, collectively included. You know, drop Bruce Wayne in as a kid for a second. Well, where'd you come from? Gotham.
I had the same thing with, Iron Fist and Luke Cage, especially Iron Fist Season 1. You know, they're getting ready to go in against the Hand, and Claire Temple says to Iron Fist, you know, you're not bulletproof. Well, at that point, she should have said, oh,
but
I know somebody who is. Let's call him. Or in all of the Netflix shows, you know, nobody says, hey, this is, maybe we should call the Avengers on this.
Right.
You know, that bugs me.
Well, and it's almost like the other end of the equation is the irresponsible end, right? Like, Hell's Kitchen shouldn't be, you know, calling up necessarily, but the Avengers should be popping in and saying,
what the hell are you doing here?
You got this? Are you sure you got this?
Yeah.
You don't look like you got this. You know, because they're the A game.
Yeah.
It seems like they would want to know.
Yeah.
Or at least they would want to say, congrats, kid, things are in good hands over here in the hood. We'll go handle the intergalactic crazy.
Yeah, like that was a thing with Luke Cage. I'm like, there's all of this turmoil going on in Harlem. People getting shot up.
Yeah.
The rumors of this guy bulletproof, and nobody from S.H.I.E.L.D. or the Avengers shows up to say, hey, what's up with you?
Now, not to counter your all-female series idea directly, but it touches on a theme. And I would love to see this theme in any way, in any format. I don't care if it's male, female, mixed. I like the idea of elevation of these characters and the talent. And I think that's somewhere that the W or CW and Warner Brothers world, they really drop the ball to me by not pushing forward their characters into the cinema. So if we've got to lose some expensive talent, like we already know about Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
I have a theory that Thor and Iron Man are getting it. They're the next most expensive people. They would create the most stakes. I would almost bet money or lunch or something reasonable on one of them, certainly, being out in this next movie.
Well, that's
because they've got to have a surprise. Everybody knows Cap.
Yeah.
Okay? And it could be any number of things. All we know is we get to cry a bunch when Cap leaves. But one wallop, one surprise, favorite, and expensive person.
What if?
Getting a death. And then you elevate these other people. And that's something I think is always a boat that's missed. The only place you really saw that done well was Star Trek. Here's a TV show. Now we're going to do movies.
Yeah.
And for the MCU, it'd be great for them to say, yeah, okay, there are a lot of Avengers that are gone or whatever. But here are these people. Even if they said, okay, 50% of the population's wiped out, we don't have a whole hell of a lot of a team, but hang on, I got a guy I can call in Hell's Kitchen. And they beef up the team, at least for this film, or whatever.
And that's what happened in the comics.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly how the comics storyline.
And the place where I feel like CW missed that was immediately transplanting Welling from Smallville to a Superman film. I think that Brandon Routh detour was unnecessary. They had a great Superman.
Yeah.
They should have cast him in a film. Now, I don't know. Maybe they tried. Maybe I'm forgetting something.
He
I know there's a Superman curse that everybody wants to avoid.
Yeah, and he did not want to do it. But he is returning as Superman in the Arrowverse.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Is it? Are we?
It will be the Smallville universe, not the same one in the Supergirl. So
right
again with that. Now here's a theory, and we'll end with this. What if we know Cap is done because his contract is over? Did you know that Halle Atwell is appearing in Endgame?
I heard, and there was the little photo that he's looking
photo,
at,
but
which
she
hasn't been
she
really
is
seen.
Actually cast. We know that there's time travel.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Marvel Puzzle Quest, the game on your iPhone, introduced Peggy Carter as Captain America. What if the new Cap, because we know we're going to have a new Captain America.
Right.
What if it's not Bucky? What if it's not the Falcon? Because they've been dusted. What if the new Cap going forward is a Peggy, return to Peggy Carter because of time travel, multiverses? How cool would that be?
That's not uncool at all. I can totally deal with that. I put that above Bucky.
Yeah.
Because my wish has been consistently Falcon Cap, wings and all. I want that.
That would be
That's
great.
What I want. But I would take that also. What I don't want is the easy answer. You know, that's like standing around, you know, I got sugar and flour and chocolate chips. I'll make a chocolate chip cookie. Duh. Because when you've got Bucky standing around in the wings, well, he's going to be the next Cap. Duh. It's too easy.
Yeah,
it's too
it
easy.
Is too easy.
I like the idea of doing something that's A, not easy, and B, rattles the hater cage, because I want to see the cranky nerd blogosphere bitch and moan about the female or darker skinned Cap, because it pulls them out of the woodwork.
Well,
and it makes them show who they are and how wretched they are about creative license, and I love poking those buttons.
What I would love to happen, Endgame, the heroes finally win, they fix time, whatever, they bring back all the dead heroes, except it costs Cap his life, he makes the ultimate sacrifice, they're at the funeral, and a sling ring portal opens up, and out jumps Peggy Carter in the Stars and Stripes, and she says, "What are you bloody, you know?
Right. Yeah.
What are you standing around here for? Suit up. Let's go."
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And that's how it ends, with them Avengers assemble.
That's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
That could be good.
Yeah, that could be good. Well, we are coming up on 20 minutes here.
Yep.
Any final thoughts for our listening audience?
You know, I remain just a sucker, a fan, all the way. So whatever comes to pass, I'm going to probably enjoy. And I typically defend, I typically explain to people that the reason I'm so forgiving as a fan about licensed of characters and stories is because my primary childhood, ongoing, lifelong fandom is Transformers. And that gives me a thick skin. Transformers fans have the thickest skin in fandom. We've seen our lore twisted, turned, and messed with so much that when a Marvel person cries foul and tries to say they're not going to see something, I have no love for it. I will consume it all.
So one question for you. Bumblebee.
I am just shy of peeing my pants excited to see that. And I think it might be the Band-Aid on
the film that saves the franchise.
Yeah, the Band-Aid on the film side of that particular franchise.
Awesome. Well, hey, we are going to leave you guys. This has been a lot of fun with Lucas Leverett here at the Nashville Comic and Toy Con. Some of our thoughts on the MCU after Avengers Endgame. I would love to hear your thoughts. You can send us an email at feedback@dieselpunkpodcast.com. Let us know what you think, or post a message on our Facebook page at Tales from the Flipside, Diesel Punk Podcast. And while you're at it, go to iTunes and drop us a 5-star review, post a comment, make it good, and help us spread the word about the Tales from the Flipside podcast and the Diesel Punk Podcast. And if you are in an area where there's a local convention happening, you should go, right, Lucas?
All the time, man. You know, if you want to really meet the fandom culture, your brothers and sisters in nerdery, that's the place to go.
Yep.
You know, of all sizes, from a small show to a massive show, getting out and about with the geek culture.
It'll be great. Well, hey guys, thanks for tuning in. Until the next time, swing hard, swing often. We'll catch you on the flip side.